I know everybody sounds good this morning, so I won't ask you, okay? Is that all right? Hey, you're looking good, too, even though I'm not looking right at you. But Spirit says you look good, so praise God, I'll take it. All right, Psalm 27, verse 5 to 9. It's talking about exuberant declaration of faith. It says, faith comes by hearing through the Word of God, amen? We can use a lot of that, can't we, at times, especially. Now, I'm going to go at the start of 5. I'm going to read 5, and then I'm going to kind of go through that just a little bit to kind of explain. Holy Spirit asked me to do that type of thing this morning. And starting in 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Now, he's given us a hiding place. That's God's hiding place. In Psalm 17:8, it says, under his wings. So don't forget that, okay? And then he goes on, and he says, in the secret place of his tabernacle, as comfort, the security. And then he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Divine refuge in him. And this upon a rock part of it is called spiritual foundation. He's given us that also, too. To rest in him. That's the foundation. Okay, now let's go on to 6. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Please bow the head and join me in prayer. Dear Lord, I say and do up here be pleasing to you, Father God. So the thing is, what comes from you, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to continue and help us grow. It says, swift to hear, slow to speak. So any type of decision-making we're making, help us take our time in that. I'm time in you as we're in our divine refuge with you. We're in our place of safety. We look around. A lot of things going on. Before we step out in you, I think you want us always to take time in you, to start with you, to end with you for the day. So once we're used to doing that, and we've been doing that, Lord, I know you've shared a lot of those type of things. It's so essential to start with you. And I know a lot of us still that way of trying to do things on ourselves. And I'm as guilty as anybody on that, Lord God. So I need to always continue. And it's a reminder for me. So I thank you for being compassionate. And mercies are new this morning. You always shared that. Well, I was in our hearts for that. And we're glad of that. And you're faithful. I'm glad of that too, Lord God, because as we look out, you know, we don't find anything out there in the world. Some of us have to work in it, but it says not be part of it. That's why always our eyes come back to you. Or our brothers and sisters in Christ rely on each other. That's how we grow. We grow together. It says edify a brother and sister up in Christ. Help us do those type of things too. So we lift that up today. In your name, amen. Amen.
And also one other thing, the iron sharpens iron. One day conference is on May 17th. So far, I think there's like 15 guys that have signed up. It's going to be a fun time. It's a meaningful time. I want to encourage you men that if you have not signed up, sign up. I need to register the group soon. And So the sign up sheet is in the fellowship hall. It's $49 right now if I get the group registered early. If not, then it goes up to, I think, $59, $65, something like that. But always get the group registered early and so we can get in at the lower price. If you cannot afford it, don't let that keep you from going. You speak with me, we can arrange a scholarship for you to go. Last thing I want to say is, and this is my wife wanted to make sure that I said it, that you would be praying for me. that the difficulties with my heart and AFib keeps raising its ugly face in my life, and I went through quite a bout with it last night, and it seems to be happening quite often. So I will be calling the cardiologist tomorrow and say, hey, what's going on? Fix it. Yeah, but the Lord fix it today. Amen. Amen. Huh? Only God can fix your heart. That's good enough for me.
Anybody who wants to pray for Pastor can come up here.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord. And Father, you know this better than any cardiologist. You know Pastor from the top of his head down to the very tips of his toes. Father, you know what's causing this AFib, Father. And you can heal it and restore whatever is not working right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we just come before you, Lord, that you would bring healing to Pastor, Father, that his heart would beat at a normal rate, Father, and it would not accelerate anymore, Father, but it would just be a normal, steady beat, Father, that it needs to be, Father, for him to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And Lord, if you choose to use a doctor, Father, Lord, we just pray now, even now, for the doctor, the cardiologist he would see, Father, if there's any procedure that needs to be done, Father, we would even pray now for that surgeon's hands, Father, just guide them and give them clarity as to exactly what needs to be done to bring this heartbeat back to a natural rhythm, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, we thank you for Romans 8:28, that you work all things together for good. And it's hard for us to imagine sometimes how you can work something out for good. But Lord, without a test, there's no testimony. And you've brought Pastor through a lot of other situations, a lot of other close calls, so this is no different. This is another test, another testimony, another way for you to receive the glory. And we thank you for it ahead of time in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, yes. And by your stripes, he is healed.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
He healed all of
them.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And the voice, too. Sealed with a kiss.
Love you. All right, enough of me. Go sit down. Love you, man. I understand better the scripture where it talks about Moses, and he had these two men that would come alongside him and lift his arms up. And because when his arms fell down, Hebrew children were at war. And when his arms went down, they would begin to lose the battle. When his arms came up, they would win. But he couldn't keep his arms up by himself. It was just, he was an old man. And I'm finding out now how much more we need each other, you know, how I need you, you know, to help me lift my arms up. And I'm blessed with those that regardless of what goes on, you stand next to me. And I just want you to know I'm really blessed, really blessed man. Turn with me to John chapter 6. And as you turn to John chapter 6, I have a video I want to show you. I was looking for I love using multimedia, and I went to YouTube to look for a video that had to do with how Jesus said, you know, that, you know, I am the bread of life, and so I clicked onto it, and then all these things came up with all these different pastors and preachers teaching about Jesus being the bread of life, but then I came across this one. And I'll tell you, I could not have created it better myself. Because it uses exactly the scripture that I preached on last week and this week. And it was done by John Romey, who plays Jesus in The Chosen. So with that, It's about 5 minutes long.
A reading from the Gospel of John. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, amen. Amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this flesh, this bread, will live forever. These things he said while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And many of his disciples who were listening said,
this is a hard teaching.
Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe. And the one who would betray him. And he said, for this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father. As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, do you also want to leave? Simon Peter answered him,
Lord, where else would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life.
I've watched that many times. It is so powerful. So powerful. Father, I thank you for your word. And oh Lord, as we go over the second half of this scripture passage, you speak to our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, again, I confess to you, I cannot do this without you. I need you, Lord. Fill this cracked pot with your presence, with your anointing, with your holy word. Spill out on us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 60, John says, this is therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? What was the hard saying? The hard saying was Jesus saying that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And again, I have to say, you know, he's not talking about cannibalism, but he's using this as an assimile to teach us exactly what he means. You see, it's one thing to just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's one thing to just believe that he did die for your sins. It's another thing to have him residing in your heart and governing your life. See, those are two different things, because even the scripture says even the demons believe and shudder. They know precisely who he is, and they precisely know what their future is as well. The beauty about us and the difference between us and demons or even angels is that demons and angels don't have the privilege of repentance. We do. You see, if you're an angel and you mess up, you're done forever. But I've messed up. I don't know how many times I've messed up. But I can always say, I have hope. I have forgiveness. I have a Lord that believes in me. You know, it's one of the most powerful things you can say to somebody. I believe in you. I do. I believe in you. It's not saying, and I say that to a lot of people, I believe in you. Many of you here have heard me say that to you when you were in down and out, when you were struggling with things. I believe in you. I'm not saying I believe in what you're doing right now. I'm not saying I believe in the pathways that you've taken. What I'm saying is I believe that you can rise up above that.
That's right.
I believe in you. You see, Jesus believes in me. And that never stops, even when I fall, even when I sin, even when I fall short of his glory, that never stops. He still believes in me because he knows why I was created. He's the one that created me. Woohoo, hallelujah. I didn't create myself. My mom and dad, they had a part in it, but they weren't the actual creators. The scripture says that when I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I sanctified you. I've set you apart for a special purpose. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got set apart for a special purpose. I'm glad he didn't reveal it right off, because it would have scared the living tar out of me. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Well, we can understand it if we will apply ourselves to it. There are all kinds of mysteries in this book. And God made it that way for a purpose. He didn't make everything so blatant, obvious, understandable. He wants you to dig. He wants you to invest into your relationship with him. You know, Kathy and I, we invest in our relationship with each other. That's why she's been able to put up with me for 51 years. You laugh. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" In verse 61, and when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Now, there's two things here. First of all, Jesus understood that his disciples were complaining. It wasn't just the followers. It wasn't just the ones who were listening to him. It says his disciples. Say that, his disciples. Are you a disciple?
Yeah.
All right, well, this is some of the people that were like us. Some of his disciples complained about this. And he said to them, "Does this offend you? Does this offend you?" Anybody here ever been offended by something?
Yeah.
Those of you who are not voting or lying. Because I said that, you're probably offended by me. See, Jesus said he recognized that his disciples were complaining about this. And so he asked them a question, does this offend you? Would my teaching offend you? What I said in the last many verses, did that really tick you off? Did it offend you? Did it strike you as something that's hard? You see, I'm trying to remember what the word was. I had the word. I knew it, but I got my brain's old today, and it's not thinking correctly. There's a progression. Thank you, Lord. Progression from grumbling. See, he said, you know, are you complaining? Well, see, the Greek word there means grumbling. Now, without a show of hands, you ever grumble about something?
Yeah.
Grumbling. You see, when you're grumbling about something, there's a tendency that you're going to be offended by it. You grumble because you don't agree. You grumble because it goes against the grain. Amen? Right. You never grumble about something you think is really cool. You grumble about those things that you don't think is too cool. And that brings in an offense. Now, when there's an offense, you are set up with, am I going to forgive or am I not going to forgive? And unforgiveness, if there's unforgiveness, will lead to bitterness.
Right.
And bitterness, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, defiles many. So the whole thing of people being defiled by you starts when you start just complaining and grumbling. And Jesus here said, you know, he knew his disciples were complaining about this. So he said, does this offend you? Does this offend you? Then he said this, and this was very important. I wrestled with trying to figure out what he was saying. But he says, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? What Jesus is saying here is if I said these things from the very throne room of God, would you grumble? Probably not. But because I said it to you as a man, you feel that you can complain about it. You see, Jesus is saying, reminding them who he is. When he said that, when he said, you know, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? If you saw me in my glory, if you saw me right now in all of my majesty, you would not dare complain. You would not be offended. You would be humbled. See, we always have to remember who Jesus is. When he was in the flesh, they even said, you know, this is Mary's son. His dad was Joseph. Who is he doing, saying these things, doing these things? He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Listen to me, please. All the words of Jesus, which incorporates this whole book, are words of life. Words of hope. Words that give us direction. Words that bring deliverance into our lives. Words that help us set our life straight before Him. My goodness gracious, remember, He is the one that has ascended now back on high. He came from there, He went back there, and we're headed that way too, if you're a believer. We've gone through what a believer is. A believer is not somebody just believes that he is who he is, but one who has received him as Lord and Savior. Isn't that what John said? John said, he who receives him receives eternal life. He who rejects him rejects that very life. See, that's in your ballpark, whether I'm going to be a disciple or not. But even as a disciple, you need to guard your heart, because it says in this scripture, in this passage, it talks about the disciples that murmured and complained and were offended. And we'll see also where there were many of those disciples left him. These were disciples. But there are some of you who do not believe, he says in verse 64. This is a common thread in Scripture. It talks about those who did not believe. Even in Matthew 28, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead and he met with his apostles and disciples, it said in there, it says, but some didn't believe. Even there, some did not believe. It's a common thread. So I challenge you, and I challenge myself, to ward off all hint of unbelief. All hint that would cause you to doubt the words of God. Because that's what they were doing. They were doubting him. They were offended. They complained. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. It boggles my mind, as long as I don't look at myself in my early walk with the Lord. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. I went through a long period of my walk with the Lord in walking in unbelief and walking in denial. And yet he continued to believe in me. And he continued to reach out to me. And he continued to offer me the greatest gift. You see, the Bible says that God desires none to perish, but all to come to repentance. And he gives me that opportunity to repent. He gives me that opportunity to come to him every single day of my life, right up to the day I breathe my last. The question is, when you breathe your last, do you breathe your last as a believer or an unbeliever? Or should I say, a believer who's received or a believer that still didn't? Verse 65, and he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Now, there's a theology out there that says that unless the Father really grants you the gift to be able to come to him, you can't. And that's true. But that theology will say to you, and there's churches say to you, that will say, some people God will not ever let them come to him. But others he does. See, that's a selective God. My Bible tells me that God desires all to come to repentance. He desires none to perish, but all to come to repentance. Hallelujah. Praise God. He doesn't, so he gives everyone that opportunity. He draws all of us. And Jesus was right. You know, he's saying that no man can come to me unless my Father first grants them permission to come. And so if you're feeling that knock on the door of your heart, know that my Father has given you the permission to come to me. Don't squander it. And he gives that to every person, everybody, every single one of you, me included. He has said, I want you. I need you. I died on the cross for you. I paid the price for your sin. Now come to me, all you who are heavy laden. And he's talking in that scripture about being laden down with sin. He says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. The best rest there can be is not laying down your head on the pillow at night so you can finally go to sleep. It is that rest that only God can give you. That rest in knowing that I have got my security is sealed in heaven. Hallelujah. Why? Not because of something I did other than I opened my heart up and said, Jesus, please come in. Jesus said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you gain the kingdom of heaven. Verse 65, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. What a wonderful gift the Father gives is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and gives each and every one of us that avenue to come to him and know that he will not cast you out. But verse 66 is important. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. What a sad... I can't imagine how Jesus felt at that point. I know what it's like. Maybe you know what it's like to have somebody you love, somebody you cherish, somebody that was close to you, and then they said, I'm done with you. I'm walking out. Whatever the issue was, they're not willing to work through the issue. They're just saying, I'm gone. See you later. So that's the spirit of divorce. But anybody ever experienced that? I've experienced that. It hurts deep. It's like a knife being cut into the heart and ripping it out. How did Jesus feel? How did he feel that he was ready to pour his life out for that person, for those people? He was going to die on the cross. He was headed for it. He was not going to stop. And even with them, listen to me, please, even with them walking out of his life, even with them leaving him, even with them rejecting him, he was still going to go to the cross for them. He was still going to give them that opportunity to come to him, and in no wise would he cast them out. They cast him out, but he won't cast them out. Hallelujah for that. I don't know about you, but I preach myself happy about that because I know how many times I've rejected him. I know how many times I said I love him. I said that I want to serve him and still reject him in the things that I do, the things that I say, the things that I think that nobody else is privy to. But he knows what they are.
Yes, he does.
And he still believes in me. Yeah, really. Can you say the same thing about me? Can you say that to me? You believe in me? I believe in you. I believe in you. Jesus believes in you. No matter how many times you may reject him, he believes in you. And he will believe in you right up to the time that you stand before him as being the judge. You see, when you die, you're going to come before Jesus. You're going to. There are people who say, oh, no, I don't believe in Jesus. I said, but boy, your eyes are going to be open on that day. Whoa, you know. But you're going to face him in two different ways. One of two different ways. You're going to face him as your Lord and Savior. Oh, Jesus, I am so humbled that I am here now. I get to kiss your feet. I get to be like that woman who washed your feet with her tears and dried your feet with her hair. I'm going to wash your feet with my tears. I'm sorry, sir, they're going to stay wet because I can't, I'm going to get no hair to dry them. But I thank you. I get to be here with you because you're my Savior. I don't have to face him by him coming and saying, I am your judge. You see, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, the scripture says you pass through judgment into eternal life. So see, right now I'm in eternal life. Hallelujah. I'm not going to die. I am not going to die. This old kicker's going to, this body's going to stop, but I'm going to pass right into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. But if I haven't received Jesus as my Lord and I die, I face him as judge. I will not hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. I will hear these words, get behind me. I never knew you. And that's being cast into outer darkness. That's being cast into hell itself. And I'm so glad I don't have to face that. And I hope and pray that none of you do too. He says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now, I need to hit on this just very quickly. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, it says this, 20 to 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. What Peter is saying here is it is better that you not come to him than to come to him and walk away. It is better for you if you just not come to him. You're still going to hell. But in this life, I've seen people who have come to know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior, even teach the word, and then drift away, and then walk away, and then purpose to stay away, and their life becomes a total mess, so much more so than it was before. And they're in bondages that they just can't break, and are now saying, this is okay. Total deception. And that's what happens to people with this scripture in 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They chose to leave. And the Bible says that God will turn them over. He said it to the Corinthian church, I think it was, that God turned them over to a debased mind. And the state of that person was worse than it was to begin. This is real stuff. This is the truth of God's word. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? See, Jesus was at that place where his many disciples walked away, not going to be with him anymore. And he turns to the closest ones to him on the face of this earth and asks them, do you want to go away too? Maybe Jesus is asking somebody here that question, because maybe you've been thinking, or somebody online, you've been thinking about the things of the world. You've been thinking about the fun that you used to have. Let me tell you, that fun would do nothing but destroy you. That fun is designed by the devil to kill you, to die. I'm going to be speaking at Steve Chase's celebration of life. And I sat down the other morning and just kind of thinking about the old crew. And you know, most of them are dead. Some of them committed suicide. One that I know of committed suicide as a believer. As a believer. The state became worse. The state of the man became worse than it was in the beginning. But Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Peter understood. You know what Peter was saying right there? I'm going to try and fill in the blanks here. Peter was saying, Lord, I've got a clue what you just taught. I do not understand at all about having to eat your flesh and drink your blood. I don't get it, but this I do know. Only you have the words of life. So maybe I didn't understand that, but I know it's words of life, and I'm going to hang out with you until you give me the understanding. I am not giving up. You know why, Lord? Because, Lord, I believe in you. And I'm not walking out on you. And I know you will never walk out on me. See, that's the true relationship between you and Jesus. Knowing that Jesus will not walk out on you. But Jesus knowing you will not walk out on him. That's the strength of a marriage. The strength of a marriage is not that everything is peachy keen all the time. My goodness gracious. Kathy had lived with me for 51 years. Can you imagine what she'd been through? Yeah. Could go both ways, but I'd rather pick on myself because I got to go home with her. No, it hasn't always been peachy keen. But you know the strength of our marriage is this. I'm committed to you. I'm in covenant relationship with you for as long as we both shall live. And that's the strength of our marriage. The strength of a relationship that I have with Jim and with Tom is two men that don't always agree with me. I don't understand why. I mean, they're elders. They're spiritual men. They really should get with it, right? They should always agree with me. Let me tell you, some of our elders' meetings, I'm called on the carpet. You know why? Because we don't always agree, but we always go back to what the Word of God says. And we commit to each other that we will not walk out on each other, but we will stick with each other for as long as is necessary for us to complete the work that God has given us in this age. You know what that means? We may not like each other all the time, but we trust each other. And we love each other. See, that's the strength of relationships. But that's the way it's supposed to be with our relationship with Jesus. Because that is the way his relationship is with you. Are you glad of that this morning?
Yes, I am.
I am too. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us your word. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you believe in us, in each one of us.
Yes.
You don't give up on us. And Lord, because of that, we trust you.
Yes.
I thank you for the gift of salvation. And I pray, Father, that each one of us in this place who truly trusts you,
yes,
with all of our heart. There may be times when we say, Lord, that was a hard teaching, a hard saying. But Lord, I'm hanging out with you until you give me the understanding. And church, if you would like to just pray with me, prayer of salvation, prayer of recommitment, just pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I open my heart and I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Today, my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today, Lord, I recommit my life to you. And I thank you, Jesus, that you receive me to yourself, so that where you are, I may be also. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, are you brave enough to raise your hand and say, yeah, I did. I'm not afraid to say it. All right, if you prayed that prayer to recommit your life to the Lord and you really meant it, would you raise your hand for that? All right, praise God, praise God, praise God. All right, good, hallelujah, thank you, praise God. Know that you recommitted your life to the Lord. Please listen to the words of that scripture where it says that many left him, many walked out. But in 2 Peter, it says the state of the person is worse than it is in the beginning. So please stay tight with Jesus. Amen? Stay tight with him. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you for giving me a little additional time this morning. I'm saying that graciously because I took it anyways. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You know what that's saying? He wants to lift his countenance upon you. He doesn't want to just look at you. He wants to take the glory of his life and to pour it into you, that countenance would be upon you.
Yes.
And with that, you get his peace.
Yes.
Peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. I pray that blessing upon you. I pray that prayer upon you for God's peace to be upon you as you seek him in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, come on up, and we'll close in a song.
generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, and your going, in your weeping, and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you.